Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Happy Super Bowl 51 Sunday. Big shout out to everyone out in Houston, H-Town, having a blast. And also those of us worldwide who are celebrating this NFL holiday. If our teams are in it or not, right? Because we're enjoying it. So NFL, it's a holiday. It's a holiday, literally. So shout out to Team Patriots and shout out to Team Falcons also. And I agree with Kelly Ripple from Live with Kelly. She took me on Friday when she stated that she's looking forward to the Lady Gaga concert and all the other events surrounding it. But it is, I mean, I've been enjoying watching Fox all day, so you might, I hope not, but you might be able to hear my television because I've been enjoying, well, Fox since noon. I don't say all day, but since noon have been enjoying the pregame show and broadcast and interviews and highlights and spotlights right now. And this is a show began broadcasting. I quickly went to Fox's NFL on Fox Facebook page and checking out different topics. The first one that caught my attention, but then I looked at another story that was posted on NFL on Fox relating to something that Skip Bayless mentioned, that it's like why Terrell Owens doesn't deserve to make the Hall of Fame. So I need to check this story out. Many of you probably have. This is a test show. So testing, 3, 2, 1, testing. Full play show should be back this month. Really. And I also will share my 100 hot guys. But I haven't shared in a few, 2 to 3 years, like 3 years. I will share that for the Valentine's Day broadcast. So the Full Flip Show should be back so later than for us to celebrate Valentine's Day, which should be a blast. But this is, you know, the commentary style show audio version only right now. And thank you for continuing to support the show. The show broadcast in March, almost 21st, it's 2011, and now it's 2016. Been on hiatus for like a year and a half, but began test shows back in December. My bestie, that's an original member of the Mississippi Mass Choir, Daryl Smith, is looking forward to being a guest when the show returns. He has a lot to share. He's an original member of Mississippi Mass Choir, many of you are familiar with, and also him and his brother also performed together as the Smith Brothers. And so looking forward, he would like to talk with you all and share his experiences, not only as the one of the original members of Mississippi Mass Choir, but just to talk about and share his talent of singing with us. And he also shared with me yesterday that next month, there was still a gospel awards in Vegas. The Mississippi Mass Choir will be presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award. And that is amazing. And so congrats to the Mississippi Mass Choir, Medical Records, based right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Congrats. Lifetime, 25 years, Lifetime Achievement Award. It's more than that, like 30 years. Over 25 years of just, you know, sharing awesome gospel music. Please excuse me, I knew better to show them an apple before the broadcast, and I need to sip a glass of water or something. So if some of you are wondering, like, what sounds like something's in my throat, literally it is. I need to drink. I'll take a sip of water. But I know some of you might be saying that it's TMI, but some of you might say, oh, my God, I wonder what's going on with her throat. But that's what's going on. I knew better than living on an apple and then not drinking, getting a sip of water before the broadcast. And reminder also, as I mentioned during the last broadcast, that remember the Crossroads Film Festival will be presented in April, from April the 6th to April the 9th. Right, right from here, you're from Mississippi, for the state of Mississippi, 200th birthday, yay! But Mississippi celebrated the bicentennial this year. The Crossroads Film Festival will be presented April the 6th through the 9th, 2017. Go to the website, Crossroads Film Festival. It's exactly the way it's pronounced, .com. Sign up for updates. Also like the Facebook page, Crossroads Film Festival. Crossroads Film Society. Also, there's two pages that you get a lot of information from the Crossroads Film Festival. So everything is progressing very well. I'm definitely looking forward to the planning meeting, the next planning meeting this week. And we'd love to see so many of you based right here in Mississippi, film lovers, artists, performers, just those that work in the industry, behind the scenes and in front of the camera. We really would like your presence, and if you're interested in volunteering, becoming a member, definitely go to the website, sign up. Michelle Baker is the festival coordinator. Rod B. Fisher is the chairman. Robert Trump is the screen coordinator. I missed out last year. I was in Texas and loving Texoma. But I missed out last year. The year before was amazing. And last year was, I hear, an amazing event also. So I arrived back in Mississippi from Texas, from Texoma, just in time, right in time to be a part of the planning committee and the screening committee again, and social media, and as a volunteer original music showcase coordinator. And I am so excited too to have Executive Medical Records, Louise Black, and also J.D. Lawrence, who is a part of the indie label that is associated with Malico Records, Old Chase Records. They're co-coordinating the music video showcase with me, and so that is exciting too, because we come from we come from different perspectives, and I will say thank you to all those who submitted music videos, filmmakers, the artists that submitted artwork. Thank you. All of us at Crossroads Film Festival really thank you for that. But I just want to put that in and let you guys know that how hard we are working, how much fun we are having. I'm always excited. You know, it's very exciting. I'll translate this, I think, because we're still in the planning stage. There's not one. The music videos that I have been screening, one of the films that I have screened, have been amazing. But the music videos are so amazing. And each one definitely tells a story. That the showcase presented will only be 90 minutes. So that's where it gets really hard, because the videos are all amazing. So that will kick off. That's opening day. That's opening night. The music video showcase. And it showcases the talent of Mississippi, and not only the talent of Mississippi, but surrounding areas and also worldwide. Because solutions come in, but we're definitely sharing diverse music videos, original music videos from awesome artists, and not to say too much. You definitely don't want to miss my day, because it begins on the 6th, and then it ends on Sunday with the awards brunch on the 9th, and the awards brunch. Oh my God. There's been an event where the filmmakers are presented with their awards in each category, and it's amazing. So, hopefully it's filled with surprises also. But if someone is listening, a particular person, you know what I mean. And not a person, but people and companies, you know what I mean. But back to the Super Bowl. I just wanted to remind you guys, you mark your calendar, because I know many people need to know that if you've attended it before, you would like to make a plan to come to Mississippi, if you're not from Mississippi, you need to know the date. And at make my check, I'll let you know what hotel is the host hotel also, because I know two hotels were, so I'll let you know the host hotel and then the next alternative hotel, so it's the hotel that you can contact if you're coming from out of the area, out of the state of Mississippi also, or in the area you want to stay at the hotel. But I know my voice is still with excitement because I'm excited for the Super Bowl. Lady Gaga is one of my favorites. Lady Luke Bryan to be, oh my God, opening. That's amazing. And I hear that's history, the first guy in 10 years. So, wow. And congrats to that first guy also. Oh my God. Congrats. Rookie of the Year, NFL Rookie of the Year. I think that was so cool for him to share with his teammate, Ezekiel Elliott. So congrats to Cowboys Nation, the Saints, and I know that you guys know my favorite teams are Saints, Cowboys, you know, Mavericks, Pelicans. But they have my favorite players, my favorite coaches, and so on. My mom, of course, is rooting for the Patriots. She's a team Patriots. She's a Dallas and Saints fan, but she's a long-time Tom Brady fan. And we have they have players on both teams, the Falcons and the Patriots. So Malcolm Butler is with the Patriots. And then there are a few more players that play for the Falcons. So, in the South, I'm pretty much neutral. My mother just asked me who's like a favorite. In respect to what I've been hearing in the media, to me, just listening to the media and listening to friends and talking to friends, it's like an even deal. You know, people will love to see the Patriots. Yeah, man, but then also the Dirty Birds. We'll love to see the Dirty Birds do their thing with four rookies in defense. I think that's amazing, isn't it? So the best team wins. I'm with my mom with the Patriots, but you know, it's good to see a Southern team also repping also. So I just think we're in store for a great event, you know, from music, the game, and I just can't imagine how much fun the people that are in Houston, how much fun they are having. And so my friends in Houston and I have been networking, and they're excited, even those that are having their own Super Bowl parties at their homes and so on. And I know a lot of my just friends worldwide are just having fun celebrating this NFL holiday. I was just thinking that, and I think I had posted on Facebook about this is the NFL holiday. Then my mom, she was like, this is like a holiday. Like, you know, I'm like, exactly, it is. You know, people are really into that. And then we had Groundhog Day, too. And so that was a big deal. And so I don't know what to say about that. That spring, we're having wishy-washy weather here, but it's warm. Can't complain. That's about a month ago when we had freezes and coldness here in Mississippi. I'm just looking at Facebook and looking at NFL on Fox, because this is a kid's show. I have good points, but not really. You know, I do have bullet points. I don't have anything like written out, because my playing was just pretty much talk about the game, talk about Lady Gaga, talk about the current event, We shout out to everybody who set it up for what they believe in. Really, you know, big Taylor 11 prayers out to our president and our local and our state, federal, and worldwide political leaders and those that go out into the community and set up for what they believe in and help others. Because we have to be there for each other, right? United we stand. United we stand. Even regarding our differences, united we have different perspectives or different points of view. United we stand. Divided we fall. So even if we come from different angles, or different thoughts, different opinions, there must be a competent way to problem solve, right? It must be, really, because we have a concern about our well-being, our health, finances, our loved ones, doing what's right in the waters in the world, in America, in the world. So just shout out to those. Network in person and from a kid on to now and on throughout social media. It's about networking, effectively networking in a competent manner. Even when we are sharing things and information from different angles and different perspectives, and we all are alike, it would be very boring, would it not? So that's why I encourage my friends that I network with to I know some people like to stay in a lane and not network with anybody outside of their realm, which that is good too. So that way you can stay away from some cyber bullying and stalking and stuff like that. And even I know some people who even have relatives cyber stalking bullying deal, you know. And but I encourage my friends to network. That's how that's for those that are in business or do community work. It's really good to network and see how people can work together and come together. Even sometimes develop into working together in person, right? And meeting up in person and making magic happen. So before the show, I thought, I don't need to get into whatever, a certain realm, but our lives, our health, our well-being are important. It's important to be compassionate for one another when there is so much hate out there. And it's just important. So I just want to send love vibes and I thank those of you that send love vibes and hugs back to me. Also in prayers and those of you that me in person and throughout social media, if it's direct or publicly or by phone or text message. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait until the shows are back full-fledged mode so we can chat here on blogtalkradio.com and so we can talk, so you can call in and we can Skype and all that good stuff, because I miss that, don't you? We really had some good talks, and so many of my guests that have been on the show are looking forward to coming back on the show to update us on what is going on with their lives and their careers and sharing their stories. And like we say at Crossroads Film Festival, we all have a story, and so I'm definitely looking forward to that. I need to keep an eye on the time. I think we have about 10 more minutes. I'm going to go to my Facebook page, see if anyone is anything. A message. Thank you all for listening to the archive shows and also listening to my chat shows. It's important to get feedback. And, Fox News, if you're interested, they have a question out asking who do you think will win the Super Bowl. And then really, Beyonce might be performing with Lady Gaga. I'm sure you have heard reports that she has confirmed that she'll be performing at the Grammys after her announcement of being pregnant with twins. And congratulations to the Carters also. Twins, that is amazing. Congrats. That is amazing. I'm happy for them. That is so good to hear. And this is Black History Month, but we all know history happens every day, but this is officially Black History Month. So most definitely pick up a book, read a documentary, listen to the audio, or just Google Black History. And it's probably someone you know who make a difference. I remember as a kid, I used to do like reports on figures within Black History. And sometimes I like to choose someone that was like off the path. Because sometimes you're hearing the same information, but it's important for us to recognize the ones that we already know about. But it's also good to learn about those that aren't in history books, or those that are in your city and in your town that are making the difference. And that's anybody who's making history. But when it comes to Black History Month, sometimes it's good to go off that path. You know what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? And sometimes teachers really did that, too. Like, wait a second. Who is this? Sometimes it catch teachers off guard also. Because I know I did that a couple times when I was in school. I mean, I would choose rather Iron Norm to write a paper about. I've always loved like essays and reports. And so in researching and so on. So in writing and creating stories and art and all that. But one book that I have in my hand, I am reading for Black History Month, and is a James Baldwin Notes of a Native Son. Notes of a Native Son. And I'm Not Your Negro, what premiered Associators this past Friday, right? And we, it looked like we would be, we would present a special screening of that film also at Crossroads Film Festival. But we'll leave it at that until it's definitely confirmed. But it looked like we would be having a special screening of I'm Not Your Negro on Friday, on the second day of the film festival. But I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want my, you know, I don't want the coordinator, Michelle, and the board members, and Robbie, and you know, others to know me for putting out information. But and I think it is a go, but so after the next planning meeting, I'm just going to leave it at that. But that should be a good deal. Okay, I thought the program was interrupted, so that's why I just paused it. So that would be awesome. So I'm listening to a little bit of Fox. I'm sure I have my television on, but I don't want any type of interruptions. So I'm trying to listen to what's going on Fox. But that is the book that I am reading right now, and I'll read a few others. But James Baldwin, Notes of a Native Son, and what it says on the book, and this is like a book that I've had since a kid. Nearly 30 years ago, Richard Wright's defiant novel, Native Son, first brought home to a shocked public the reality of growing up Black in America. Now, in James Baldwin, a new generation has found the fiercely articulate and perceptive interpreter of its bitter coming of age. Notes of a Native Son is the moving chronicle of Baldwin's search for identity as a writer, as an American, and as a Negro. A struggle against alienation and hatred that took him from the streets of Harlem to the expatriate colonies of Paris and on into the tragically divided consciousness of his native land. One of the outstanding writers of his generation, the New York Times wrote then on the back of the book, and winner of the National Institute of Arts and Letters Award. Of course, that's a recommended read to those of you that have not read that, because that is what I am reading. And it also, it opens with, the most difficult thing in my life has been the fact that I was born a Negro and was forced, therefore, to effect some kind of truce with this reality. Dave Baldwin was born to the son of a Harlem preacher in 1924. Growing up in a child-ridden poverty, he read steadily and voraciously, was both a confirmed writer and a young minister by the time he reached high school. At 17, he left home and church to begin a long struggle for substance and literary recognition, excuse me, I have background noise. Two unpublished books and two literary fellowships later, he departed for France, where he completed Go Tell It on the Mountain, Giovanni's Room, Another Country, Mother of the Native Son, Nobody Knows My Name, and The Fire Next Time, assuring his important position in contemporary letters. And so, Notes of a Native Son, James Baldwin, and it's for Paula Maria. And so, pretty much the contents are acknowledgments, autobiographical notes. Then it goes into everybody's protest novel, Many Thousands Gone, Carmen Jones, The Dark Is Light Enough, The Harlem Ghetto, Journey to Atlanta, Notes of a Native Son, Ain't Kind of a Sign, Black Meets Brown, A Question of Identity, Equal in Paris, Stranger in the Village. And his acknowledgments go on to state that the author is grateful to the following publications for permission to reprint material that first appeared in their pages. Commentary for Carmen Jones, which appeared in the January 1965 issue as Life Straight in the Eye, The Harlem Ghetto for February 1948, and Equal in Paris, March 1955. Hopper's Magazine for Notes of a Native Son, November 1955, and Stranger in the Village, October 1953. The New Leader for A Journey to Atlanta, October 9, 1948. Partisan Review for Everybody's Protest Novel, June 1949. Many Thousands Gone, December 1951, and A Question of Identity, July-August 1954, and a reporter for Encounter on the Sun appeared in the issue of June 6, 1950 as The Negro in Paris. And I could read an excerpt, but that's a read that I am focused on for Black History Month. Or I could, let's see. I have 30 seconds, but for the 30-minute broadcast, but we can go over a little. I will read a little bit from autobiographical notes, referring to James Baldwin. I was born in Harlem 31 years ago. This is speaking in the author's voice from the book. I began plotting novels at about the time I learned to read. Childhood is the usual bleak fantasy, and we can dismiss it with the restrained observation that I certainly would not consider living it again. In those days, my mother was given to the exuberant, raging, and mysterious habit of having babies. As they were born, I took them over with one hand and held a book with the other. The children probably suffered, though they have since been kind enough to deny it. And in this way, I read Uncle Tom's Cabin and A Tale of Two Cities over and over and over again. In this way, in fact, I read just about everything I could get my hands on. I need reading glasses. Except the Bible, probably because it was the only book I was encouraged to read. I must also confess that I wrote a great deal. And my first professional triumph, in any case, the first effort of mine to be seen in print, occurred at the age of 12, or thereabouts, when a short story I had written about the Spanish Revolution won some sort of prize in an extremely short-lived church newspaper. I remember the story was censored by the lady editor, though I don't remember why, and I was outraged. Also, there were plays and songs, for one of which I received a letter of congratulations from Mary LaGloria, and poetry, about which the less said, the better. My mother was delighted by all this going on, but my father wasn't. He wanted me to be a preacher. When I was 14, I became a preacher. When I was 17, I stopped. Very shortly thereafter, I left home, for God knows how long I struggled with the world of commerce and industry. I guess they would say they struggled with me. And when I was about 21, I had enough of a novel to get a Sexton Fellowship. When I was 22, the fellowship was over. The novel turned out to be unsellable, and I started waiting on tables in a village restaurant and writing book reviews. Most of that is, as it turned out, about the Negro problem concerning which the color of my skin made me automatically an expert. Did another book in company with photographer Theodore Pelotowski about the storefront churches in Harlem. This book met exactly the same fate as my first fellowship, but no sale. It was a Rosenwald fellowship. By the time I was 24, I had decided to start reviewing books about the Negro problem, which by this time was only slightly less horrible in print than it was in life. I packed my bags and went to France, where I finished God Knows How, Go Tell It on the Mountain. In a writer, I suppose, feels that the world into which he was born is nothing less than a conspiracy against the cultivation of his talent, which attitude certainly has a great deal to support it. On the other hand, it is only because the world looks on his talent with such a frightened indifference that the artist is compelled to make his talent important. So that any writer looking back over even so short a span of time as I am here, forced to assist, finds that the things which hurt him and the things which hit him cannot be divorced from each other. He could be helped in a certain way only because he was hurt in a certain way, and his help is simply to be enabled to move from one conundrum to the next. One is tempted to say that he moves from one disaster to the next. When one begins looking for influences, one finds them by the score. I haven't thought much about my own, not enough anyway. I heard it at the King James Bible, the rhetoric of the storefront search, something ironic and loud and perpetually understated in the Negro speech. And something of Dickens' love for Bagora has something to do with me today. But I wouldn't stake my life on it. Likewise, innumerable people have helped me in many ways. But finally, I suppose the most difficult and the most rewarding thing in my life has been the fact that I was born a Negro and was forced, therefore, some kind of truth with this reality. Truth, by the way, is the best one can hope for. Right. One of the difficulties about being a Negro writer, and this is not special pleading, since I don't mean to suggest that he has it worse than anybody else, is that the Negro problem is written about so widely. The bookshelves groan under the weight of information, and everyone therefore considers himself informed. And this information, furthermore, operates popularly to reinforce traditional attitudes. Of traditional attitudes, there are only two, for or against. And I personally find it difficult to say which attitude has caused me the most pain. I'm speaking as a writer. From a social point of view, I'm perfectly aware that the change from ill will to goodwill, however motivated, however imperfect, however expressed, is better than no change at all. But it is part of the business of the writer, as I see it, to examine attitudes, to go beneath the surface, to tap the source. From this point of the view, that Negro problem is nearly inaccessible. It is not only written about so widely, it is written about so badly. It is quite possible to say the price the Negro pays for becoming articulate to is supplying himself, and left with nothing to be articulate about. You taught me language, this, Caliban is supposed to be, and my prophet owns if I know how to curse. Consider the tremendous social activity that this problem generates imposes on whites and Negroes alike, the necessity of looking forward, of working to bring about a better day. This is fine. It keeps the waters troubled. It is all. Indeed, that has made possible the Negro's progress. Nevertheless, social affairs are not, generally speaking, the writer's prime concern. They ought to be or not. It is absolutely necessary that they establish between himself and these affairs a distance which should allow at least for clarity, so that before he can look forward to any meaningful sense, he must first be allowed to take a long look back. In the context of Negro problems, neither white nor black, for excellent reasons of their own, have the same desire to look back, but I think that the past is all that makes the present coherent. And further, that the past will remain horrible for exactly as long as we refuse to assess it honestly. I know in my case that the most crucial time in my own development came when I was forced to recognize that I was a kind of bastard of the West. When I followed the line of my past, and I did not find myself in Europe, but in Africa. And this meant that in some subtle way, in a really profound way, I brought to Shakespeare, Bach, Will Grant, to the Notes of Paris, to the Cathedral of Chartres, and to the Empire State Building, a special attitude. These were not really my creations. They did not contain my history. I might search in them in vain forever for any reflection of myself. I was an interloper. This was not my heritage. At the same time, I had no other heritage which I could possibly hope to use. I had certainly been unfitted for the jungle, for the tribe. I would have to appropriate these white centuries. I would have to make them mine. I would have to accept my special attitude, my special place in this scheme. Otherwise, I would have no place in any scheme. What was the most difficult was the fact that I was forced to admit something I had always hidden from myself, which the American Negro has had to hide from himself at the price of his public progress, that I hated and feared white people. This did not mean that I loved black people. On the contrary, I despised them, possibly because they failed to produce Rembrandt. In effect, I hated and feared the world, and this meant not only that I thus gave the world an Oscar of murderous power over me, but also that in such a self-destroying limbo, I could never hope to write. One writes out of one thing only, one's own experience. Everything depends on how relentlessly one forces from this experience the last drop, sweet or bitter, it can possibly give. This is the only real concern of the artist to recreate the disorder of his life, the order in which is art. The difficulty then for me of being a Negro writer was the fact that I was in effect prohibited from examining my own experience too closely by the tremendous demands and the very real dangers of my social situation. I don't think the dilemma outlined above is uncommon. I do think since writers work in the disastrously explicit medium of language that it goes a little way towards explaining why of the enormous resources of Negro speech and life, and despite the death of Negro music, prose written by Negroes has been, generally speaking, so pallid and so hard. I have not written about being a Negro at such length because I said that to be my only subject, but only because it was the gate I had to unlock before I could hope to write about anything else. I don't think that the Negro problem in America can even be discussed coherently by bearing in mind its context. Its context being the history, traditions, customs, the moral exception, and preoccupations of the country. In short, the general social fabric. Appearances to the contrary. No one in America escapes its effects, and everyone in America bears responsibility for it. Yes, I believe this is the more firmly because it is the overwhelming tendency to speak of this problem as though it were a thing apart. But in the work of Faulkner, in the general attitude in certain specific passages in Robert P. Warren, and most significantly in the Abbot of Ralph Ellison, one sees the beginning. At least, in a more general and penetrating search, Mr. Ellison, by the way, is the first Negro novelist I've ever read to utilize the language and bring only some of the ambiguity and irony of Negro life. About my interest, as back to reading glasses. About my interest, I don't know if I have any, unless the morbid desire to own a 16 millimeter camera and make experimental movies can be so classified. Otherwise, I love to eat and drink. It's my melancholy conviction that I scarcely ever had enough to eat. This is because it's impossible to eat enough if you're worried about the next meal. And I love to argue with people who do not disagree with me too profoundly, and I love to laugh. I do not like Bohemians. I do not like people whose principal aim is pleasure, and I do not like people who are earnest about anything. I don't like people who like me because I'm Negro. Neither do I like people who find in the same accident grounds for contempt. I love America more than any other country in the world. Amen. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. I think all theories are subject that the finest principles may have to be modified or may even be pulverized by the demands of life, that one must find their for one's own moral centers and move through the world hoping that this center will guide one aright. I consider that I have many responsibilities, but none greater than this, to last, as Hemingway says, and get my work done. I want to be an honest man and a good wife. So that was the autobiographical note from James Baldwin, Notes of a Native Son. And this is a book that I'm focusing on right now. This one of many that I'll be reading this month in celebration of Black History Month. But we all have a story, right? I have family members, friends, loved ones, people that I did really have caught my attention. But also, I've been recognizing many of my Facebook friends, period, worldwide, just as awesome people. Starting this week, but then also I'll be recognizing, well-known history makers, but then also some that maybe some of us don't know about. Also, and I love it when others share also information with me. But it's almost time for to conclude the show. And there's something else. Oh my God, there's something that's on my mind. But I'll schedule another text show this week before next week, and look forward to the 100 hot guys list. Best 100 hot guys list that I haven't presented in a few years for Valentine's Day celebration. But have fun celebrating the Super Bowl and celebrating Lady Gaga and Luke. Luke, of course, is going to be amazing. Big shout out to all my friends here in the city, in Texas, in Tacoma, in the Choctaw Nation. And then, Choctaw Nation here too in Mississippi. I haven't been to the Choctaw Nation since I've been back at the casino in Philadelphia for a little bit. I thought I would see BBD, but their tickets sold out. Oh, and so speaking of BBD, New Edition, congratulations to those guys. Have loved them since the beginning, and thank you all for defending me from the beginning. Also, I've learned a lot about the music industry from their managers and so on. That's a whole other story, right? It's amazing. So big shout out to those guys for getting their Walk of Fame star. Can't wait for Prince to get his Walk of Fame star, right? So we even had a lot of Prince news to share with you, and looking forward to a lot of my Prince fans coming on the show in the near future also. So big shout out to everyone. Let's love. I need to conclude the show before the show concludes itself. And that would be sad. But God bless and much love, and I feel like I have much more to say, but have a fun time. Don't eat too much. And for the best team, right? Shout out to Lady Gaga. I can't wait to see the show. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports. I'm Beth, a.k.a. Beecher, right here on blogtalkradio.com.